tonight to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. I'd like to begin reading with verse 20. Read through verse 35. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 through 35. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord. Be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak not for you, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is commonly, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. From the opening statement in verse 1, we read, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. From that statement, it is obvious that Paul is writing in response, he's now writing in response to some written questions that had been submitted to him by the church of Corinth. And as you read through the chapter, you can begin to discern the nature and the matter of these questions. They no doubt were questions concerning the child of God and marriage. They were questions concerning the child of God and marital relationships, and also just various positions that a child of God may find themselves in, a variety of statuses that a child of God may find themselves in. And in response to their questions, he exhorts them concerning the importance of perspective. That is, having our attitude a certain way, having a certain point of view, and he stresses here that it is imperative that a child of God have a certain point of view. So with regards to these questions, he begins to exhort them concerning keeping everything in proper perspective in all situations of life, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance is. You must keep everything in proper perspective. You must have a proper frame of mind. So he's exhorting them, he's teaching them to develop this frame of mind, to always maintain a proper point of view, to always maintain a proper position, a proper purpose, always to have a proper frame of mind. And his purpose for doing this is stated in verse 35. He's written these things, first of all, for their own profit. That is, for their own spiritual gain, for their own spiritual good, for their own spiritual advantage, for their own spiritual well-being. He's saying, everything I've said in this chapter is for your profit. It's not meant to be a snare. It's not meant to be something to bind you and hinder you from serving the Lord. So Paul is telling them these things so that they would be free to serve the Lord more fully. And that's basically what he's talking about here. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the unmarried and the married. He's saying that the unmarried have more time for the things of the Lord than the married. And what his whole point here is that we ought to strive to be free from all hindrances, from all bondages, so that we can serve the Lord more fully. And he says, in order to do this, it does require a proper perspective. It does require a certain frame of mind. And he wrote these things for their profit, not to be a hindrance to them. And then he said, but for that which is comely, which is a figure of elegance and honor, that is, if they would keep a proper frame of mind, they would have honor in their lives. And this would enable them to diligently apply themselves to the things of the Lord and to the Lord. Notice in verse 35 again. But for that which is comely, and that ye may attend, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction, that ye may give full attention to God, that ye may give full attention to the things of God without distraction, without any diversion. Wouldn't it be nice if we could serve the Lord without any distractions? That's not going to happen in this life. But I believe what Paul's point is, that there's enough distractions out there. Don't bring more into your life. Don't bring more distractions into your life. That you might attend unto the Lord without distraction. That you might attend unto the Lord without interruption. That you might serve God without any interference and without any hindrances. And then in verses 29 through 35, basically what Paul is saying is, do not allow marriage. Do not allow afflictions. Do not allow joys. Do not allow sorrows. Do not allow business or any worldly concern impede, obstruct, or stand in the way of serving God. Most of God's people today think that is very unreasonable. Well, I've got my family. We are to put God ahead of everything. Everything. And this is what Paul is teaching. He's saying, do not allow anything to get in the way. To get in the way of serving the Lord. What Paul is saying is, don't get stuck. Don't get boggled down so that you cannot serve God. So that you cannot do what you ought to do. And due to the nature of the world in which we live, which is completely absorbed with the here and now, due to the nature of sin, which is rebellion against God, due to human nature, which is simply being absorbed with self, and due to all the ploys of Satan, it should be a constant struggle for every child of God not to get stuck. Not to get stuck in the quicksands of the world. Not to get stuck in the quicksands of sin. Not to get stuck in the quicksands of the flesh. Not to get stuck in the quicksands of the devil. We're going to begin a series of messages tonight on that very subject. Don't get stuck there. And it goes very much in line with the series that we just finished concerning living a victorious Christian life. Through the years, I've come to realize that most of God's people are stuck. They're stuck. And we all go to places. We all have to experience things that we would not choose to experience. And we go to places in our mind that we may not necessarily choose to go there. But going there and getting stuck there is two entirely different things. And when you get stuck, and again, we could go until the Lord comes on all the ways that you and I can get stuck and all the things that we can get stuck in. But God's people, for the most part tonight, are stuck. Many cannot do what they ought to do because they're stuck. They cannot be what they ought to be because they're stuck. They cannot be the faithful church members that they even desire to be because they're stuck. It's a terrible thing to be stuck. It's a frustrating thing to be stuck. Because many times if you're stuck, the more you struggle, the more stuck you become. And it gets very, very frustrating. So we want, again, to speak this series on don't get stuck there. We can get stuck in, again, we can get stuck anywhere. And when we get stuck, it presents a danger to our own spiritual well-being. We get stuck by yielding. By yielding to that which is contrary to God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, he said, "Know ye not, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." When we yield ourselves to that which is contrary to God, it could be a thought, it could be many, many things, and we'll try to cover some of those in the coming weeks. But when we yield to those things, when we yield to negative thoughts or sinful thoughts, we become stuck. We're stuck there. We become the servant of that thought. There are people who are stuck in a thought process, and because they are stuck in a thought process, they cannot hear the Word of God, they cannot receive the Word of God, they cannot worship, they cannot pray. And I don't care how much they want to receive God's Word, how much they want to hear God's Word, how much they want to pray, it's not going to happen because they're stuck. They're stuck somewhere that will not allow them to receive God's Word and to worship the Lord. So we get stuck when we yield. We also get stuck when we're overcome. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, we read, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." So we get stuck. There are people sitting here right now, you're stuck. Some of you have been stuck a long time. Some of you have been stuck since I've been here, and I know it goes beyond that. Stuck. Some perhaps have been stuck somewhere their entire Christian life, but they're stuck there. That's a miserable, hopeless, helpless feeling, and it almost renders one useless in the service of God. So tonight we want to deal with what Paul is speaking of here. And what we see is that biblical perspective is a safeguard against getting stuck. We all get stuck from time to time. But a biblical perspective is a safeguard against getting stuck. A spiritual frame of mind. You might get stuck, but a spiritual frame of mind will get you unstuck and will even save you from getting stuck. So first of all, let's consider 1 Corinthians 7 here, the importance of a biblical perspective. Paul, in these verses, mentioned, he's answering some questions. Doesn't specifically mention what the questions were, but again, as you read through, you get the idea, the subject matter of the questions. But as he's answering the questions, he mentions five things. He mentions five things that we need to always consider, that we need to consider every single day of our lives. Five things that we must give thought to every single day of our lives. Five things that ought to shape our point of view. Five things that ought to shape our frame of mind. Regardless of what is happening in our lives, these five things, five very simple truths, we must never, ever forget. We must realize the reality of these five things. Notice in verse 20 through verse 22. He says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." Now it's obvious that one of the questions that Paul was asked was, whether a child of God should continue in the same employment that he had before he was saved. And Paul begins to answer that question here in verses 20 through verse 22. "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it." Care not for it. "But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." That is, if you are a servant, don't allow that to become a subject of deep anxiety. Don't allow that to become a distress. Don't think that to be disgraceful. Let it not affect your spirit. Let it not affect your service to the Lord. But if you have the opportunity to be made free, then take the opportunity. Use it rather. That is, avail yourselves of such an opportunity. But then notice what he says in verse 22. "For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman." He that is called in the Lord being a servant, and then notice the next three words, is the Lord's. Is the Lord's. You're the Lord's no matter what. And then, likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. The key here is that you are the servant of God. This will keep you from getting stuck. Remember, in all circumstances, you are the servant of God. And you are not to allow anything in your life that would deter you from being a servant of God. Whether you are a slave, whether you are a free man, whatever opportunities may come your way regarding your employment, Paul says, remember this, you are the servant of God. Always keep that foremost in your mind. Whatever opportunities come your way, remember this, I am the servant of God. That's first. That's first. And I am not to allow anything to encroach upon that. I am the servant of God. Ye are Christ's servants, is what he says here. In other words, this is your main vocation. This is true of every single one of us. This is not just true of pastors. This is true of every single child of God. This is our main vocation. It is never, ever to become secondary. And if we keep that in mind, there's a lot of places you and I would never get stuck in. There's a lot of places you and I would never go. If we just kept this in mind. I am here to serve God. This is my main calling. And since it is my main calling, since it is your main calling, it is to be our great, it is to be the thing that we are most committed to. You know how people get stuck? They get committed to other things. And they get stuck. And people will say, well, I would do such and such, but you gotta understand, I can't because of this. And they got a list a mile long. And who brought all those things into your life? Who brought all those things into your life? You did. And you allowed yourself to get stuck. And I used to think when people said, I can't, I thought, no, you won't. And that's partly true. They won't get unstuck. But there is some truth also when they say, I can't. It's just like if you're stuck in mud and someone says, come over here, and you say, I can't. I'm stuck. You're correct. You can't. You can't because you're stuck. You can't because you took a walk in the mud. That's why you can't. And you're stuck. And God's people tonight are stuck. But I'm telling you, if we get this frame of mind, I am God's servant. When it comes to going to school, when it comes to picking a career, no matter what we're talking about, I am God's servant first and foremost. That'll keep you from getting stuck in a lot of places. That'll keep you from making some bad decisions that not only will get you stuck, it'll get your entire family stuck. I am God's servant. This is a very simple principle. We are Christ's servants. That is what is to identify our lives. What was to identify their lives was not whether they were a servant or a free man. What was to identify their lives was that they were Christ's servants. What is to identify our lives is not whether we're a carpenter or a plumber or whatever. What is to identify our lives is, I am God's servant. That is what is to identify our lives. And since that it identifies our lives, every aspect of our life is to be intricately woven around Jesus Christ. And again, many of God's people say, hey, that's unreasonable. You're being foolish. And you will spend, you are the ones, those who think that way, you are the ones who will spend your life stuck. Always stuck somewhere. You notice people that are stuck, even if they get unstuck over here, it won't be but a few days and they'll be stuck over here. Why are they always getting stuck? Because of a mindset, it's because of the way they think. It's because they do not first consider, I am Christ's
servant. So people, we all get stuck at times. But there are some people, they just go from one mud hole to the next. They're always stuck somewhere because they make bad decisions. And the reasons they make bad decisions is because they don't have a proper frame of mind. And the only proper frame of mind that you and I can have is, I am Christ's servant. Therefore, Christ comes first. Everything else is behind that. Everything else is below that. Christ is preeminent. The Lord's work is preeminent. That attitude will keep you from getting stuck. Secondly, in verse 22, or verse 23, he says, you're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Ye are bought with a price. That is, never ever forget that you are a purchased possession. You have been bought by. You have been bought by God. And when you buy something, you buy it for something. You have been bought by God, and you have been bought for God. Well, I just want a little bit of time to do it my way. You are God's servant, you are bought by God, and you are bought for God. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that. And that'll keep you from getting stuck. Again, come what may, this must be our point of view. This must be our constant frame of mind. I am bought. I am paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, be not ye the servants of men. Which is just another way of saying, you're bought with a price. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. That's not what you were bought for. That's not what you were bought for. Don't get stuck. You're bought with a price. Be not the servants. Be not the servants of men. So come what may, I'm not my own. I belong to God. You don't have the right. I don't have the right to take my life and let it get boggled down and stuck somewhere where it is of no use to God. You don't have that right because you've been bought. So this is the second thing that ought to go into shaping our frame of mind. We have been bought. Verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, whatever your employment is, therein abide with God. Whatever your employment is, Paul says, whether you're a servant, whether you're a free man, whatever it is, abide there with God. You abide with God. This needs to be our frame of mind. What he's saying is, no matter what, you adhere to God. No matter what, you stick by God. No matter what, you stand by God. No matter what, you continue. You remain and you persist with God. In other words, stay close with God. And if that is our goal every single day, and every single day we are living the day, I am staying close to God today, that'll keep you from getting stuck. Just staying close with God. It only takes one step away from God to get you stuck. That's all it takes. One step. One step, and you're in a quicksand. And you might be there the rest of your life. So be careful. Stay close to God. No matter what is going on in your life, stay close to God. You can't take a vacation from God. So whatever's going on, stay close to God. whatever decision you face, stay close to God. It's amazing to me. People make life-altering decisions, and many times in the negative way. And they go to all sorts of people and ask for advice on this decision. And they go to the ungodly. They go to the unsaved. They go to those who do not love the Lord. And they ask their advice. To make themselves feel good, they might ask one or two who are spiritual, but they're not really listening to them. Stay close to God. That just needs to be your goal. I've got to stay close to God. You stay close to God, and you'll make right decisions. You'll make right decisions. You'll make good decisions. You'll make decisions that will not allow you to get stuck. So what Paul is saying here so far is in every pursuit, in every endeavor, my point of view must be, I am the Lord's servant. That needs to be our point of view. That needs to be our frame of mind. I belong to Him. And I must stay close to Him. And notice the fourth thing, verse 25, he says in the last two words of verse 25, be faithful. Be faithful. There's a lot of places where you can get stuck and you can't be faithful. It's impossible. Don't get stuck there. Whatever those places might be, don't get stuck there. Realize this, that God saved your soul. God called you to be faithful. That is, God called you to be constant. Don't get stuck somewhere where you can't be constant, where you can't be true, where you can't be devoted, where you can't be unswerving and steadfast and dedicated. Don't get stuck in those places where you can't be faithful. I've even had people tell me, well, Brother Dan, you know I'd be more faithful if. No, I don't know that. No, I don't know that. The truth is, you're not faithful because you did some things. You've gotten stuck. But I don't believe a person has to stay stuck. But most choose to do so. To be faithful is to be dependable. To be faithful is to be reliable. And in every pursuit, in every endeavor, in every decision as a child of God, our point of view and our frame of mind ought to be, I must be faithful. I must be faithful to the Lord. That'll cause you to think twice, whatever career you choose, because there are careers you cannot be faithful to God in. That'll make you think twice about where you move, because there are places you move that you cannot possibly be faithful to God. This needs to be constantly upon our minds. And then fifthly, they were to realize in verse 29, the time is short. I am to serve God. I am to abide with God. I am to be faithful to God. This is to be my business. This is to be my priority. This is to be the object and aim of my life. And the time to do so is short. The time to do so is short. How many times people will make such statements? Well, in 10 years from now, my finances will be in order and I'll be able to retire, and then you can depend on me. No, we won't. Because you'll be stuck somewhere else then. If you're willing to put being stuck off for another 10 years, you're going to be stuck somewhere else. If it means that little to you, 10 years from now, I don't care if you're retired and you have $6 million. It's not going to matter. You're going to be stuck. If that's your attitude, well, I've been stuck this long, another 10 years won't matter. God help you. The time is short. We have but a very limited time to serve the Lord. The season and the time of serving God with our lives is very brief. It's very limited. It's very short-lived. And it is passing. It is passing ever so quickly. So he mentions these five things that ought to shape our frame of mind. I am the servant of Christ. I am a purchased possession of God. That is, I belong to God. Thirdly, I am to abide with God. Whatever my calling is, whatever my secular calling is, I am to abide with God. And I am to be faithful, whatever that calling is. And the time to do all of these things is very short. And then in verse 29 through 31, Paul makes application of these five principles. He makes application to everyday life. He mentions five areas. He mentions five areas of life in which we are to apply these five biblical perspectives. This will keep you from getting stuck. Verse 29. He says, "It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none." What he's saying here is maintain a spiritual frame of mind, maintain a biblical perspective in married life. And even though here in verse 29 he addressed husbands, of course the application is to both husbands and wives. And the instruction here is not implying in any way that one is to neglect their spouse. The teaching is, don't get stuck there. Don't let marriage keep you from serving God. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in your married life. And the way to do that is, again, to maintain these biblical perspectives. The teaching is that a husband or wife should live their lives in view of their relationship with God. Your married life, you need to view it in your relationship with God. When it comes to marriage, your point of view, your frame of mind ought to be, I am a servant of Christ. Therefore, I'll be the best husband I can be. I'll be the best wife I can be because I am the servant of Christ. I am the servant of Christ. I am bought by Christ, bought for Christ. I am his property. I am to stay close to the Lord. There are people whose marriages are such a wreck they cannot possibly be close to God. Because first of all, if they were close to God, their marriages wouldn't have got that way. And the fact that they've stayed that way means that you're stuck. Means that you're stuck. And husbands and wives get stuck in some awful habits. Get stuck in some places where neither can serve God. Where neither can worship God. They come to the house of God mad at each other. You can't worship in that spirit. You're stuck. You're stuck. And he's saying, again, remember all of these things that ought to go into shaping our frame of mind. Maintain them. Even in marriage. Verse 30. They that weep as though they wept not. Again, the direction here is not against weeping. He's not condemning weeping. But what he's saying is, in times of weeping, don't forget, no matter how great the sorrow, no matter how great the sorrow, remember why you're here. I am Christ's servant. I had someone just a couple of weeks ago tell me, "Or Dan, I had to go on in the grief because where I was, I could not serve God." That's true. You have to get beyond. You can't just spend the rest of your life grieving where you can't serve the Lord. Don't get stuck in affliction. We all go there from time to time. From time to time, we get stuck there. We get stuck in our sorrows. But you better not stay there for long, because you won't be of much use in the Lord's service. So maintain a biblical perspective in affliction. In affliction, remember, no matter how great the affliction is, I am His servant. I am His. I am to stay close to God. I am to be faithful unto Him, and the time is fleeting. So even in the time of affliction, maintain a biblical perspective that'll keep you from getting stuck. We see also, verse 30, "And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not." That is, maintain a biblical perspective in times of joy, in times of pleasure, in times of jubilation and gladness. Do not allow those times to come between you and the Lord. God blesses you with a time of jubilation. God blesses you with a time of joy, and you take off church. God help you. You've let a time of joy get in the way between you and the Lord. I'll be honest with you. You miss church. I don't want to hear about the great time you had. Tell someone else. I don't want to hear about it. I really don't. I have no desire to hear about your great time when you were forsaking the Lord's house. You can tell someone else. So often, times of joy, we forget to maintain a biblical, we forget why we're here. God didn't just pop us down on earth to have a good time. He put us here to serve Him. He put us here to abide with Him. He put us here to be faithful to Him. And the time is fleeting. The time is getting shorter and shorter. And the Bible still says in Psalm 84 that a day in the Lord's house is better than a thousand anywhere else. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Maintain a biblical perspective in times of joy. Then notice verse 30 again. "They that buy as though they possessed not." It's talking about worldly business. Maintain a biblical perspective in worldly business, in worldly affairs, in buying and selling. Whatever you buy, whatever it is that you buy, keep in perspective. Keep it in the right perspective. If you buy a new car, if you buy a boat, if you buy a house, whatever it is, keep it in the right perspective. I am to serve God. What I have bought is not to interfere, is not to come in between me and God. Because I'm here to serve Him. And I belong to Him. And I'm to abide with Him, and I'm to be faithful. And the time is fleeting, fleeing. So we must maintain a biblical perspective in worldly business, what we buy, what we sell. Then notice in verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. That is, maintain a biblical perspective in all worldly concerns. What we read there, and they that use this world, we're to use the world. We're to use the world. The proper use of the world will furnish us with food, with clothing, with medicine, with protection, and many, many other things. And we're to use the world. We're to use the world for these things. It is right to so use the world. The world was made for these purposes, for you and I. But notice what it says. We are not to abuse its use. When do we abuse it? When we misuse it. When we misuse it, we abuse it. You say, well, that's up to the individual to decide misuse. No. Anything contrary to God is misuse. Anything that comes between you and God, that's misuse of the world. That is an abuse of the world. And I promise you, those who abuse the world are stuck in many, many a place. And they cannot in that condition serve God. In other words, we are not to make the world a mere matter of indulgences, or to make it the main object and purpose of our lives. Such is an abuse or a misuse of the world. And people will say, well, you know, I only do such and such. It's not like I do it every week. I only do it every now and then. Certainly God understands, does he? Does he? I don't think so. God, you won't find anywhere in the Word of God where God just makes an allowance for you to go contrary to God. We must maintain a biblical perspective. We live in a world that's filled with quicksand, and every single day there are innumerable things that can just suck us under, and we become stuck. It can be a thought. It can be a thought that just goes through our mind, and all of a sudden we're stuck there for the rest of the day. If we're not careful, we'll be stuck there tomorrow too. If we're not careful, we'll be stuck there for a week and 2 weeks and 3 weeks. And I'm sorry, but when you get stuck there, you can't serve God like you ought to. Can't be done. You can't worship like you ought to. But there are innumerable things. There are innumerable things that just threaten to suck us under. And then we have this, our nature is so prone to go in the direction where we're sure to get stuck. And just like when Mom and Dad said, Dan, stay out of the puddles. Phew. There you go. There you go. And you know what? You don't even have to run through the puddle to get wet. All you have to do is be near someone who does. And that's true spiritually too. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. You better be careful what you even get close to, because someone else may go running through, and you may get spotted, and you may get stuck. When we're stuck, spiritual progress stops. Now, in our modern day, We're very much Pharisaical. In our modern day, when we get stuck, we don't want people to think, well, I'm not making any spiritual progress, I'm backslidden, so we put on a good show. But you know you're stuck. You know you can't worship God. You come to church, but you don't get anything out of it because you're stuck. You don't feel any better. If anything, you feel worse. Because you're stuck. You know what happens when people continually come to church that are stuck and they don't get unstuck? They're miserable. Because they're reminded every week, I'm stuck, I'm stuck, I'm stuck. But you need to do something about it. You need to get unstuck. So these five things that Paul mentions, we are the servants of God. We are the purchased possession of God. We are to abide with God. We are to be faithful to God. And the time for doing all of these things is fleeting. If we always keep those things in our mind, I believe that'll keep us from getting stuck. Yes, something may happen that will upset us, and we might be stuck there for a day. We might even get stuck there for 2 days. Somewhere in that time frame, the Spirit of God says, you're my servant. And as long as you're stuck there, you're not serving me. And we need to wake up. And we need to say, hey, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this mud. And that's when we cry out unto God in repentance. So wherever God's people are stuck, I can guarantee you this. These five principles that Paul mentioned have been forgotten. They've been forgotten. They've been neglected. Many, many, many places where you and I can get stuck. I've been stuck many, 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 many times. I've been blessed in the fact that God has not allowed me to stay stuck too long. But I've known people, they've been stuck all their lives. They've been stuck all their lives. They've never been unstuck. And I believe, as a child of God, there is a part of them that wants to serve God, but they can't. Because they're stuck. They are stuck. But it doesn't have to stay that way. God can get us unstuck. But we have to get back to the principles. We have to get back to the principles of God. You know what I've observed with people that are stuck? They make one decision.